Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 7. The activities of King Bharata. Text number 8.
Evam vasa yutta sahasya paryanta vasita kamam nivanna vasaro.
Bhujamana satanavya ritam pita patamaham yata. Dayam bhaja svayam sakala sambhan. Nikita-tsa-nikita-tuna-hasyamam pravatraja.
Nikita-tsa-nikita-tuna-hasyamam.
Thus being engaged.
Thus being always engaged.
Vasa-ayuta-sahasya.
Vasa-ayuta-sahasya.
1,000 times 10,000 years.
1,000 times 10,000 years.
Paryanta.
Paryanta.
Until then.
Until then.
Avasita kam nirvana avasara.
Avasita kam nirvana avasara.
Maharaj Bharat will ascertain the moment of the end of his royal opulence.
Maharaj Bharat will ascertain the moment of the end of his royal opulence.
Adibhujamanam, being enjoyed in this way for that duration.
Being enjoyed in this way for that duration.
Shatanayibhya.
Shatanayibhya.
Unto his own sons.
Unto his own sons.
Vittam.
Vittam.
The wealth.
The wealth.
Vichayatimaham.
Vichayatimaham.
Which he received from his father and forefathers.
Which he received from his father and forefathers.
Yatadayam.
Yatadayam.
According to the Dayabak laws of Manu.
According to the Dayabak laws of Manu.
Vibhajya.
Vibhajya.
Dividing.
Dividing.
Svayam.
Svayam.
Personally.
Personally.
Sakala sampat.
Sakala sampat.
Of all kinds of opulence.
Of all kinds of opulence.
Nikita.
Nikita.
The abode.
The abode.
Sanikita.
Sanikita.
From his paternal home.
From his paternal home.
Balaha ashramam pravaraja.
Balaha ashramam pravaraja.
He went to the ashram of Balaha in Hagwa.
He went to the ashram of Balaha in Hagwa.
Where the Shalagram Shilas are obtainable.
Where the Shalagram Shilas are attainable.
Translation. Destiny fixed the time for Maharaj Bharat's enjoyment of material opulence at 1,000 times 10,000 years. When that period was finished, he retired from family life and divided the wealth he had received from his forefathers among his sons. He left his paternal home, the reservoir of all opulence, and started for Kala Ashram, which is situated in Hadwa. The Shogam Chilas are attainable there. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the law of Dayabhak, when one inherits an estate, he must hand it over to the next generation. Bharat Maharaj did this properly. First, he enjoyed his paternal property for 1,000 times 10,000 years. At the time of his retirement, he divided this property among his sons and left for Pulaha Ashram. So, Bharat Maharaj enjoyed in his family life for 1,000 times 10,000 years. And it describes there that destiny fits the time for Maharaj Bharat's enjoyment of material opulence at that time. So, conception of destiny is very difficult for people to understand. As described in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that in verse 16, that even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you should be liberated from all misfortune. So even the great scholars who study the science of karma, its intestinal reaction, time, how it controls the modes of material nature, the astrological sciences, even the most intelligent of a world, actually. They don't understand this. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport there in the Bhagavad Gita that action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accordance with the examples previously given by devotees. So we're trying to understand the example of Bharat Maharaj in all these aspects of action, what action we should take in our material life and in our spiritual life. We have to follow in their footsteps, otherwise we'll become bewildered. It's not possible to understand. And Prabhupada says, this is recommended in the 15th verse. Why such actions should not be independently explained in the text to follow. But he explains that to act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of the authorized persons who are in the line of disciplic succession, as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first related to the Sangha, Manu explained to Sanitriku, etc. And the system is now unearthed from that very remote time. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard action of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered. So we see that Arjuna, as each and every one of us in this world, will come to a point where the question is, what is my future? And what do I do now to attain my suitable future? What is my destiny? And how do I get the suitable destiny? Or is my destiny is going to be forced upon me and I have no control over it whatsoever. Every one of us is in that position. What is coming? Arjuna, and what happens, of course, is that because we don't understand, you know, the nature of what influences control the future, and it's not possible to understand, we're likely to do something under illusion, thinking that we're going to create a particular destiny. And if you ask most people, if you had a choice, you know, I mean, I'm talking about devotees, although even sometimes devotees, would you be in the position you're in now or not? Most people would say, I would have liked to be doing something else and somewhere else with some other people. I remember that when I was in the computing business, I was in New Zealand, which I did that course for about 1 year. But living at the temple all the time there and just practicing Krishna consciousness all the time, but also going to do this course. So I'm associated with people who have no spiritual inclinations at all. They're just, some of them are straight out of high school, some of them are sort of adults that are sort of doing this course. But at the very beginning, they have someone come in to deal with anxiety. So these days, when you do a course, they understand that a certain amount of people may commit suicide because of the anxiety. Some of them may drop out, some of them may end up taking drugs, some of them may have complete total breakdown. So at the very beginning, they have to address that situation. So that's the modern education system, which is strange because the result of knowledge is happiness. We're getting from the knowledge. The result of modern education often ends up in anxiety from the very beginning and progresses as you go. So anyway, they ask. So you're here to do this, you know, business computing certificate. Anyone who perhaps somehow is here but would have rather actually been doing something else, put their hands up. I think I was the only one who didn't put my hand up. But everyone. Somehow by force of circumstance, okay, but you know, I'd rather be surfing in Hawaii, or you know, whatever. You know, I would like to have been a doctor, or you know, whatever. Here I am. So, you know, therefore they've got a destiny that really, you know, if they think about it, I just really wouldn't have wanted this destiny. Now I'm in for it. I'm going to spend a year, and then after that I end up in someone's office, and you know, starts to go to the dawn on me. Actually, when I finished that course, I actually went around knocking on doors of offices to see if I could get some employment. And every time I looked in the office, I thought, I couldn't work here for a day, let alone for the rest of my life. You know, I struggled to get through to lunchtime. I couldn't sit in that office. That can't be my life. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but for myself, I'm just talking about myself, so I'm not. Because Prabhupada says that many people in Krishna consciousness, you go to factories and offices, they're in transcendental consciousness practically because they're doing everything, you know, for Krishna, they're as good as sannyas. I'm not having to go to office work or anything. But for myself personally, I could not see myself doing that. And so I just stopped and never applied for a job again. But I've used that computing skills to this day. I'm not a little bit rusty because I haven't really studied much computing since then, but it really helped me. I used it a lot with my astrology and different things like that, and sort of things. But, and I also, you know, there was a lot of things because I did a thing called a user you actually have to deal with people and communication systems and that. And so I still use a lot of those techniques of communicating knowledge. So a lot of I utilize that in my own way for Krishna consciousness. But fortunately, I was able to see, well, this is not my destiny, and I just pulled back from something. And I think that when you're in Krishna consciousness, you do have a sense. I hear Maharaj, Bharat also, he ascertains his destiny. Okay, this has been good, this is proper at this point. I don't have to go any further with this. So he was able to ascertain, because there's that Krishna consciousness there. And then it says there, Abhishita Kamana Yavana Abhisara. Maharaj Bharat would ascertain the moment of the end of his royal opulence. So if we have a look at that, the misconception, one of the misconceptions about destiny, is that somehow people have a sense that God or time, so in other words, many people, their conception of the supreme is perhaps the entire universe. So the whole universe, with all the demigods, that is the greatest thing there is. There's nothing beyond that. There's no transcendental authority beyond that. So as the universe evolves in its own, according to its own time, but then by force we have no choice but by that supreme cause of the universal time, we end up doing something. But others feel that even if there is many gods or a god, that somehow or another they are engaging us in some particular activity for their own purposes. But actually, Krishna refutes that. In the previous verses to that, in the fourth chapter, is this text 14. Namam kamani limpanti nami kama kalishriha ikimam yoga janati na kamati na sabajite. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. And one who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit reactions of work. As you see, that those who understand the nature of the Supreme, that he's not entangled, there's nothing, the material energy can't affect him or control him. In fact, he controls material energy. And there's nothing for him to gain in the material world, because he's God, he's the source of everything. How can God, who is the complete whole, everything, have any deficiency? It's complete. It's the very concept of God. Therefore, there's nothing for him to gain within the material world. One who understands that nature of the Supreme, we may call him Krishna, we call attracted, because everything there we want is within him. They also don't become entangled. They don't end up in an incorrect destiny, forced by the reactions of foolish activities and delusion. So they have some, actually the soul in Vedic scriptures is also described as having control of their destiny. That if we take advantage to work in cooperation with the Supreme, we can actually control our destiny, that we have go to eternal life, that we enjoy, that even this world becomes like Vaikuntha because we're working in cooperation with the Supreme Lord, or that we can be subjected to all sorts of birth and death and so many different control of the species of life, suffering, reaction. We have that control. If we work in cooperation with the Supreme, who has the full control. And so one who is Krishna conscious and knows how to work in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, they therefore have some control of their destiny. So, now, to explain that, Srila Prabhupada in his purport gives different analogies. He describes that a king, you know, they say that a king can do no wrong. In other words, the king is not subject to the state laws. Similarly, the Lord, although the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. He creates and remains aloof, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruit and results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. And Krishna is also not responsible for the activities of the living entities in this material world, even though he's created all living entities, he's created the material world. The laws of karma coming from him, time, all coming from him, and yet he is not responsible for any of the activities. So he gives this example that the living entities are engaged in their respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. So we're saying, we may think that, oh, somehow, this is my destiny, which is ordained or forced upon me by the Lord. But that's not a fact. As it says there, that the living entities are engaged in the respective activities for sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. For advancing of sense gratification, the living entities are engaged in the work in this world, and they aspire to heavenly happiness after death. The Lord, being full in himself, has no attraction for the so-called heavenly happiness. So he's aloof. Now he gives this example. The rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth, although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth. So outside, of course, we've got this rain pouring down, and so many different, especially because it's warm weather, so much vegetation will come up all over. But the rain is not responsible for, you know, where that vegetation comes up or what comes up. Here will come up a daisy, here will come up a tree. The rain is not responsible for that. And yet without the rain, none of it will come up. So there's a sense of being aloof, the cause, and at the same time, aloof. So Krishna is like that. Without God, nothing will happen. But at the same time, he's not responsible for what happens. The living entities, we want to perform a particular activity, and therefore the Lord supplies the facility for us to perform the activities that he would prefer we don't perform. And then we get entangled in the reaction of those activities. And the Lord also, he is not just like the judge. The judge sits in court, someone's done some crime, the judge sits neutral, he gives him punishment. It's not as if he hates that person or he's trying to control that person's destiny. Right? So someone comes in, he's stolen something, okay, and some penalty. The judge is completely neutral. He has no desire at all to have any influence over that person's destiny, but he just has to perform his activity. Someone else comes in and they reward him. So Krishna is like that. He's not trying to manipulate something like that, people's destiny. He's completely aloof from all of that. But we, from some activity, go to bad, and we get the reaction. We create our own destiny in that sense. And you know, man can go to, by our own desires, we can take ourselves to hell, or by our own desires, we can take ourselves to heaven and the spiritual world. So it says here, the Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the mode for nature, but he is never responsible for their past and present activities. Now, anyone who is fully conversant with the intricacies of this law of karma, or fruit of activities, does not become affected by the results of his activities. In other words, a person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus he is never subjected to the laws of karma. One who does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord, and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at fruitful results, as are the activities of the ordinary living entities, certainly becomes entangled himself in fruitful reactions. But some people have different philosophies about that. That somehow, you know, many people feel that I am God, we're all God, and I have appeared in this particular way to experience a certain set of experiences in life. So it's as if they feel that somehow or another, God, wanting to experience everything, to expand his knowledge and his enjoyment, is thinking, yes, I am now in the body of a stool-eating worm, I could be in the spiritual world with a Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, but I have somehow desired that there's some happiness from being a stool-eating man. So this is the philosophy. Or, you know, I have taken this human form, and you know, I am having so much trouble maintaining my family and my health and so many things. So, you know, people have that philosophy. Is it somehow the way God enjoys this material energy is by taking birth in our particular, you know, like as many of you have done. And that's how God enjoys. Because basically they feel that he's impersonal, and for him to, you know, so there's this concept that because God is impersonal, it's a very boring existence for him. So, you know, he may come to this world to experience the wonderful things we have, like love in the material world. Because love in the material world is a very, you know, sad affair generally. There's a, you know, there's a little bit of the sparkles in the eyes from the teenagers, and all of a sudden it all becomes hard work and you know, very little sense gratification, a lot of difficulties and complexities. So, these are the philosophies, you know, that people have. But if they have those philosophies, therefore there's no sense of Krishna consciousness, they become entangled. They're not God, they just become entangled in the birth, death, old age, and disease, and the suffering, and the miseries of the world. That is all that they get from that philosophy. So, in that sense of destiny, we cannot attribute our situation in this world as somehow God, in order to enjoy this world or whatever, is creating this destiny for us. No, we have created that. Then, we have created that by our activities of sense gratification. But Krishna consciousness means, if we actually hear from the Supreme Lord Krishna, he says, the same activities that are causing you, us, to rot in this material world of misery, those same activities can liberate you. And that is what we see with the activities of Maharatharatha. That he spent 1,000 times 10,000 years in family life. Why would the Lord give us, you know, these, as we said, we have to follow in the footsteps of these Maharajas. Now, we may not be able to live for 1,000 times 10,000 years. Or keep our relatives happy for that long. But what we do see is that there's definitely a point there, you know, by the Lord to arrange that his devotees, you know, in other words, there is no hurry for a devotee to get out of family life. And at a certain date, of course, when it's proper, yes, marriage life is basically come to an end because, you know, with old age and death coming, we want to make sure that we finish up our Krishna consciousness and just make sure we go back to God in this life. But there's no hurry, you know. But Bharat Maharaj wasn't in a hurry 1,000 times 10,000 years to escape marriage life. He understood there's no problem for a devotee of the Lord to be in marriage life for that long. So the principle of that is presented also in the Bhagavad Gita, that verse 24, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So this purport, very, very nice. So the Prabhupada explains that how activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal that is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness, and all of them will be described in the following verses. And those activities, you know, the life of the brahmacharya, the life of the grihastha, the vanaprastha, sannyas, etc., etc. A conditioned soul entangled in material contamination is sure to act in the material atmosphere, and yes, he has to get out of such an environment. So this is the quandary. We cannot stop performing material activities because we're in the material world. Can anyone just stop now? We've got a material body, we're in the material world, we cannot stop. And if we commit suicide, get rid of this body, we just get another body. Again, another material body. So, we're forced to perform certain types of activities. And of course, then we have the material conditioning, the material desires. As Krishna said, if you don't fight for me, Arjuna, you'll fight nonetheless. It's your nature. Actually, I've seen some devotees in Krishna consciousness. They've given up activities in Krishna consciousness which they said, oh, this is not life. I didn't, you know, take the spiritual life to become a salesman. Right? And so they left Krishna consciousness. And what do you think they became? Salesman. And sometimes with the same paraphernalia. You know, if it was showing paintings or something. Same paraphernalia, same sales.
It's sad.
It is. It's a tragic comedy. So, the process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from a disease order of the bowels due to overindulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product named curds. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as japa or activities, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of the material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma, Brahman, means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual, and the rays of His transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, His spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti, but when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, Maya, or sense gratification, it is called material. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus, the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor, and the result are all combined together, Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth covered by Maya is called Matter. Matter ductile for the cause of the Absolute Truth regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusory consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called jagna, or sacrifice for the Absolute Truth. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one of the Absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is a method of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we see that from the example of Maharaj Bharat, that he remained in family life for 10,000 years, practicing the art of Krishna consciousness. That everything was done in Krishna consciousness and for the sake of Krishna, Krishnarthe. Sometimes people say, oh, for God's sake. And we say, Krishna, for Krishna's sake. But with a different mood. Yes, for God's sake. You should be doing for God's sake. But you don't know who God is. You think you're God. So, Krishna, Jagya, for the sake of Jagya, for the sake of Krishna. So, and therefore, we see that Krishna is telling Arjuna, even very intelligent people, they're bewildered to understand what to do, what not to do, as to ascertain what is their destiny and what is the future that they need to get to. And Krishna didn't approve that your actions, Arjuna, you want to leave your duty and follow some other path. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the third chapter, and in the fourth chapter Krishna is talking about transcendental knowledge, right? Doing activities in full knowledge of Krishna. And he asks him so we're hearing what is a full knowledge. And he's saying in text number 30 of the third chapter, Mahi Sava Kamani Sanyasya Chitasan Yin Sin in the Mokupa Yujasavitajara. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your words unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord instructs, first it says, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Gita. So here we get the purpose of the whole Gita in this verse. It's very important. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duty as if in military discipline. Such an injunction might make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. So, we see here that the teaching of the Gita, the same as what is practiced by Mahasvara, the same as what is practiced by Arjuna. So we follow in the footsteps of the devotees, otherwise we cannot understand. Here, Krishna is saying, your natural duty in this world, according to you may have some, we may have some influence, for instance, people may have some desire to, for association with the opposite sex. They may have. I heard that some do in this world. I think it's 99.99999%. Everyone. So if that propensity is there, then that same activity, when one engages in that activity, but with the purpose that the results and the activity itself shall be done in a favorable way for the favorable result of Krishna, that becomes the source of liberation, that same propensity. That becomes the path of perfection. Because what happens, as Krishna later describes in that same third chapter, is our tendency to fulfill lusty desires or strong material desires for sense gratification. In effect, that is a perverted reflection of our original love of God. And that nature of the soul is covered by the veil of sense gratification and becomes maya, material. But when the same nature of the spirit soul acts in Krishna consciousness, gradually that material desire transforms back into spiritual desire for the love of God. It desires everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. It becomes purified and transferred. So desire does not stop, but it retains its spiritual quality. But it's a very safe platform to progress, because here, Mahasvara, he spent 1,000 times 10,000 years in family life. If someone gives up their prescribed duties too early, and this is what Krishna is saying, if we artificially, that yes, I will just jump up to spiritual life, give up these material activities, I'm not going to follow the footsteps of the devotees like Arjuna and Mahasvara and the sun god and all these personalities. No, I'm better than them. I'm not going to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. No, jump over Guru, I've read Gita, I can understand, I'm going to give up my prescribed duties really quickly, because they're very bothersome. Actually, one's giving them up on the plea that, oh, I am so advanced. But actually, the real reason, like Arjuna, is because it's bothersome to do those duties. Isn't it? That's the problem. But sometimes you find that, especially, one of the biggest jagdis that we perform in our life goes from decades is Vibhaha Jagya, the jagya of marriage. The jagya is described by Prabhupada, the jagya is an act of sacrifice which takes one to the liberated platform, which transforms all one's material activities, material desires, into spirituality, becomes completely spiritualized. But one may think that, but here, Krishna is saying, you perform your duties with, and Prabhupada says, military fashion. And later in the Gita also, Krishna says that every man can attain perfection by performing their own duties, dedicated to the Supreme. And Prabhupada mentions that we should, in that case, we can say, this destiny is ordained by the Supreme. In that case, we can. Arjun wanted to know his destiny. You want to know your destiny, Arjun? You follow Krishna's order, and Krishna tells him, you will rise above all the obstacles of life. If you don't, you'll be lost. That'll be your destiny. Actually, one time, Srila Prabhupada, in a letter, I think it was, someone asked him about destiny, relating to astrology. You know, we have our astrology. Some people have an interest in that. So, Prabhupada said, so he's asking, what is their destiny? Is it what you see in astrology? Is that nothing? It's Krishna. Prabhupada said, you have two destinies. One, a Krishna destiny, and one, your karma destiny. If you take the Krishna consciousness destiny, the destiny given by Krishna, as Prabhupada said, you know, in another previous time, don't worry about the past or about the future. Take advantage of Lord Chaitanya's movement now. Huh? Take a hold of your destiny now. You know, Prabhupada said, you have that destiny with Krishna. It's very blissful in this life. And then next life back to Godhead. But if you give up your duties in Krishna consciousness, and that means the spiritual master, you know, not just attending Hare Krishna, but if someone is supposed to be looking after their family affairs, that is, they're also ordained by the spiritual authorities, then, you know, that is also their spiritual duties. If you give up your devotional service, then what you see in your chart, you get all that back. So devotees sometimes have this feeling, well, I've chanted Hare Krishna, I've removed my destiny. Right, says some bad things, but because of chanting, I'm going to give up the difficulties I'm having with my prescribed duties, and I think I've made a better destiny for me now. I'll give up following the authorities, and I'm going to do this using my very great intelligence. Off I go. The Christian thinks, no, that's not how it works. You've been chanting so long, but Christian can just give it back. It's not exactly karma, but you can't cheat Krishna. It's not the same as karma, but he can give back. You know, this is the problem. You think you're going to cheat the system, I'll just give you the problem back. And rethink it. So that's, you know, some people say, oh, you come before the deities, clap your hands three times, your destiny's gone. Yeah? Because you can give it back. So, but that destiny, which is ordained by Krishna, and we take it like that, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has given me this duty to perform. You know, if we're in family life, we're sweeping the floor, cleaning the toilet, washing up, hanging out the washing, dealing with troubled minds, you know, from other family members, it's said in the Krishna conscious circles, when you get married, you know, and this applies to men and women, you've got your own mind. We're already having trouble with our mind, but when you get married, you've got another mind to deal with. Right? You have children, and you get a whole bunch of little minds running around. It becomes complicated. So, but we understand, but this is my duty. This is not. So, you know, one time I asked my spiritual master that, I said that I, you know, there's a lot more things I'd perhaps like to do, you know, perhaps more time to distribute books and or read Prabhupada's books or the temple. But, you know, family obligations, you know, seem to limit that. He said, that your family occupations, that is your devotional service. He said that if your sadhana is solid, you'll see everything in relationship with Krishna in your family life. And if your sadhana slackens, you lose connection with Krishna. It will become mundane. So, it is a process of Krishna consciousness. Always chanting nicely, studying Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees and following the footsteps of the devotees. In a humble way, not being proud of one's intelligence, talking at another path, that actually takes us back to Godhead in this lifetime. So, this is the example here, of course, at the appropriate time, because Maharaj Yudhisthira was fully purified within family life, and there was no rush to jump over the process. He spent that entire 1,000 times 10,000 years there, because it was beneficial, it was a path of liberation, it was ordained in him, in this case, by the Lord himself. The style of realization is the supreme personality of God. So, just as Arjuna, so when the devotee is engaged in prescribed duties, but for the sake of Krishna, the Krishna consciousness increases the love of God. And there is no difference between the sannyas in the sannyas ashram and the sannyas in grihasa ashram. If they're both the same level of Krishna consciousness, they're both on the same level of sannyas. They are both perfect yogis and perfect sannyasis. So the Prabhupada mentions that in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. This chapter 18, the conclusion, is entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. And in verse 11, Krishna says, "It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who is truly renounced." So Krishna, this is the path Krishna is recommending. You can't give up all activities, and also if you give it up prematurely, that's very dangerous. And it's a very, even if you're completely perfectly situated, like Janaka Maharaj, still he engages in prescribed duties. And Krishna says, "I'm God, and still I engage in prescribed duties just to teach people, do your prescribed duties." Otherwise, if every devotee, as soon as there's a tinge of sentiment, "Oh, now I'm advanced, give up prescribed duties," you have a problem. Better, you know, actually, almost 100% of the people we will deal with in their life and preaching, we will probably expect that they will end up as married people, you know, married couples, living like that, regulating sense regulation, and to the point it becomes zero, developing a Christian consciousness and doing that. So, the society needs the example of brahmacharis and sannyasi, but also the example of grihasthas who live together and perform all their duties blissfully in Krishna consciousness and teach people how to do that. If we can't do that, how do we teach others? So we follow the example of Bhagavad. He lived blissfully, in opulence, but in Krishna consciousness. Such a time. And we need to teach you. You can live with family, you can live in an opulent house, you can have so much wealth, you can have a beautiful wife and husband, you can have some nice children, you can have good cars. But if it's all for the sake of Krishna consciousness, then why not? Maharaj Yudhisthira had an entire, he was an emperor. Their opulence rivaled Indra Loka. His wife, so beautiful and wonderful, practically the goddess of fortune. Krishna didn't want them to give it up. He wanted them to show the world how people live, even from their greatest opulence, but everything is just for the sake of Krishna. That's it. So, here, verse in the purple, Prabhupada said, it is said in Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in their factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruit should be renounced. So I'll just leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments, any of those topics from Gita. Is there a question again?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Thank you for class. I just had a question actually, like on destiny. How do we work in cooperation with Krishna in controlling our destiny? And to what extent do we have control of our destiny?
Yeah. Well, it's, so the question is, how do we work in cooperation with Krishna
in controlling
our destiny, and how do we, what sort of control do we have over our destiny? Yeah. So, so of course, working in cooperation with Krishna means this. He knows us, our entire past, present and future. He knows all of that. We don't. So he's got an advantage. And he also knows our eternal individual nature. We don't. We think we're the body or something. So when we work in cooperation with him, it's really helpful because, you know, he has a really good understanding. So you know, like a parent. So if the parent has a child, and as the child's growing up, you know, they won't sit still for 2 minutes. They've always got to be. So the parent, you know, they guide them in their education. Look, we're not going to put this particular one, you know, in a little cubicle office. They're going to need a space to run around. They're going to need people to always talk to. You know, this person loves to have people. So they know that in their education and what have you, that that sort of destiny really suits them. If they ignore, you know, their nature and say, well, you know, I'm in IT, you'll be in IT as well, the child can end up very frustrated. So the parents, generally, they know the nature of the child, they help them in the right way. The spiritual master also, you know, can see very clearly. The spiritual masters, they can just see this within a short time, they can understand the particular motives that influence us in their hearts. And Krishna also knows. So if we work in cooperation with Krishna, then that's beneficial because so many things we don't know. And as you can see, it's very dangerous for us to make decisions without cooperation because there's so much you really need to know before you make a decision. But certain things we will never know unless Krishna decides. So therefore, we must cooperate with Krishna. That's one thing to get our destiny. The other thing is that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that as far as your destiny is concerned, he says, Eta mankrapa jante tam sute vijanyaham namabhakmala tante nilushaha utasavashaha. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, as Sankrita. So, He says, everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestation. So, whatever people are looking for, that their destiny is, I want this, actually what they're looking for is an aspect of Krishna. So that's the first thing to understand, that whatever I want in my destiny, that is an aspect of Krishna. So I'm actually searching after Krishna in a particular connection. So therefore, we must search out Krishna. We must cooperate with him, we must search out Krishna. Says, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as personal friend, another as son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and that are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. So, then, how do we attain our destiny? Is that everyone, no matter what they want in their destiny, unless Krishna, because everyone's destiny is an aspect of Krishna, Krishna must sanction it. So there's no destiny without Krishna. If one wants to merge in the impersonal Brahman, take birth in this world and enjoy, you know, like a king, or you know, eat like a pig, whatever, we need Krishna to fulfill that destiny. And he will. And he doesn't interfere in our independence. And so therefore, if we have a particular desire, then our destiny will be attained. Now, what the Krishna consciousness movement does is it helps us to understand what we should desire, what is good to desire. So many people in this world, they're desiring drugs, and, you know, different types of untouchable foods, and you know, there's sex and gambling, and so many, they're desiring that. And through Krishna consciousness, we teach them, we'll never get any happiness there. So, you know, perhaps you need to have better desires, higher desires, a higher class. So, through Krishna consciousness, if we're patient, first we become purified, and as we become purified, our desires and our individuality become purified. We have more of a sense of our nature, not our material conditioning. As our material conditioning goes, we have more of a sense of, well, this is actually more who I am as a liberated person. And as a liberated person, I have these, you know, particular types of desires on the spiritual platform. And we really want to get there before we, have certain desires. Again, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is that we may have so many goals and ambitions right now, that must be fulfilled right now. And Krishna understands that we can be a little destructive to our own future. So, you know, by his arrangements, he makes us wait a little bit so that we're in a better position to desire something, to have some particular ambition, which is actually, we know that desiring that particular ambition is very natural to myself on the liberated platform and very pleasing to Krishna. So like Arjuna understood what was his natural situation and what was very pleasing to Krishna, and he did that. Krishna protects us from prematurely jumping up to make big decisions like that. So like a father, if you worship demigods, They'll just give you what you want, and they don't care whether it's your benefit. If you worship them properly, they'll just give you something, even if it becomes downfall. The result of it, you go to hell. But Krishna won't do that. He's very kind, and he will keep us occupied in activities that satisfy. We may have desires which are not necessarily in our eternal benefit, but as we're saying, Krishna will satisfy them, if we have them, in such a way that we remain steady as the real spiritual desires are gradually manifesting. So he gives us both. He gives us both the satisfaction of, you know, our must have this now sort of desire, even though it may not be ultimately. If it's leading us in the right direction, Krishna will fulfill that, even our temporary desires, which are, and then even if they're not, they may not be the best that we should have desired, but Krishna, you know, because he's the supreme controller, he's actually guiding our lives. So any harmful effects from our own desires or activities, he's protecting us from that. So working in, with Krishna is our best option from the beginning to the end. Regarding the desires that we have now and the destiny that we think is our best destiny, even Krishna is helping us with that, that he will utilize that. Okay, I will fulfill that to a degree. Krishna will fulfill your desires, even if they're somewhat material, to a certain degree, that you'd not become entangled too much in it, but that it'll actually help you progress in your spiritual life. So the way Krishna does things is always very, so it's always very important to work in cooperation with Krishna. And that means our desires now, which may be just temporary desires, or could potentially have some harm in them, he protects us and utilizes those to help us advance spiritually. So it's very tricky, very clever. But then as we become somewhat more free from conditioning, then, you know, the our individuality becomes more clear to us, who we are, the type of person we are. And it also becomes more clear to us how Krishna would like us to engage our liberated, you know, sort of self in his devotional service, which is, you know, very pleasing to Krishna, the things that need to happen, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness in this world, and also the activities that Krishna engages us in as a liberated soul. We don't know it, but Krishna is also guiding us back to fulfill our ultimate spiritual desires and in our spiritual identity. So there's an opportunity here. You know, one of the things we see here is that what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given is that if we want to enter into Krishna's pastimes, the most confidential, blissful pastimes that don't even happen in Vaikuntha, we can actually say, yes, that will be my destiny. There is no higher destination than that. And we can relish that in this life while we've got this body, and then after leaving this body, attain the spiritual body and go back to the spiritual world. That opportunity is there. That's what Krishna is encouraging. And as we get through the Gita and we get into Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about the different relationships the devotees have. So, for instance, say you're looking for a job, right? You've probably forgotten. Yeah. But you go through a process where you look at what's on option. Okay, if I could become this, I could become that. So you actually look at all the things. It's very rare that someone just, you know, from the time they're 5 they say, yes, I want to be an astronaut. By the time they're 20 they still want to get tucked into a tin can and blown up in space. You know, that may have changed. But Most people tend not to really know too much. They have a bit of an idea, but even then, you know, they may have wanted to be a doctor, and then, well, you can't get the position in university. Okay, what's the next best option, or something like that. So, you know, so you look at it all. You look at it all, your options. So what Krishna is doing, you say, look, here's another option. You know, you can go back to the spiritual world and enjoy eternity in Goloka Vrindavan and enjoy an eternal loving relationship according to the soul's heart's desire. So, in the same way that this material world is offering so many options for our destiny, and if we desire that, yes, we can force the situation and get that. But Krishna's saying, before you make too many decisions, this option is on offer now. Free, free of charge. The last time it was on offer was so many billion years ago. You know, because Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma. Lord Chaitanya, who then allows us to enter into Krishna's pastimes, he appears only once in the day of Brahma at the most after Krishna. He doesn't appear every day of Brahma. So it may have been a few days of Brahma ago since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So that's, you know, that could be, you know, about 10 cycles or something. So that was 4 or 5 days ago. That would be 5 cycles of 1,000 yugas times 2. That would be, so that's just billions of years, you know, millions of years. Since this offer was there. So sometimes at university, you know, so, you know, usually only, you know, 3 people can become, you know, get this. Now, it's just opened up for everyone. I think it's that sort of situation. So, if you have the desire, there's actually only, Rupa Goswami says there's one prize for attaining that most ultimate destination and destiny, and that is to have the desire. If we have the desire that, no, I want that above all things, I only want that, that is all one has to do. If one has that desire, just as you desire anything else in the material world, Krishna will fulfill it. And at this stage he's saying no qualification, no prerequisites. If you have that desire, I will give it to you now. I don't know why to do that, but I'm doing it now. Why? Because Lord Krishna appeared with Radharani, whose compassion personified. So that Radharani nature of Krishna is, you know, she is very, very merciful. And that aspect is you know, there with Krishna. So, the simple answer, if you want Krishna to fulfill a particular desire, to create a particular destiny, all you have to do is follow that desire. And you have to follow that desire while worshipping Krishna. Even if you want to attain impersonal Brahman, you actually have to, there has to be a little Krishna consciousness. Even if one wants to see the universal form, there has to be a little Krishna consciousness. Even to attain material opulence in this world, there has to be some little aspect of, say, God consciousness. And if there's a tinge of it, even your material desires will be fulfilled as far as going to the heavenly planets. So, therefore, Krishna says that same fourth chapter, Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama Savakamova Mokshikama Udaradi Kibrina Bhakti Yogina Yijika Purusham Param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, they have no desire, or is desirous of all fruit and things, and all the wonderful things in this material world, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to complete perfection, culminating Krishna consciousness. See, so that verse said, even if you desire, I want, you know, husband, wife, children, home, whatever it is, better job, better bank account, Even if 5,000 hours a day, one should still chant Hare Krishna and work with Krishna. If one wants anything, the whole range of what one can desire, if one works in Krishna consciousness, that is the best platform of getting that destiny. Because Krishna is every aspect of everyone's desires. So he has to give his blessings. There's no destiny you can attain which is not an aspect of Krishna and his energies. So if you go through Krishna, he is so pleased that you're acknowledging him as God, even if you have material desires, that he actually, therefore we see personalities like Maharaj Bharat. Yes, if there's some purification needed, you live in family life for 1,000 times 10,000 years to see what Krishna can award. Now, unless Krishna awards some material destiny, you know, we don't get anything close. But just see with Bharat Maharaj, if there's a connection with Krishna, just see that even the material opulence that one gets at that, and Krishna will give. So basically, it all comes back to working with Krishna, whatever your desire is, and Krishna will help you. When Krishna helps you, we have to take that help. Yeah. That means that the way Krishna works is that we have a particular, we're going in a particular direction, and we still work with devotee authorities. Even if we want things that are not purely Krishna conscious, we still work with devotee authorities. As soon as, you know, and therefore, you know, so for instance, Sanatana Goswami, when husband and wife used to quarrel in Vrindavan, and they're on the verge of breaking, they would say, we'll go to Sanatana Goswami. And he would sit there, he's a sannyasi, he's living under a tree, every night in his coffin, but they're having some marriage problem, and they understand, well, he started, he'll do guys, and he would listen, oh, she says this, he says that. And then they go off and, you know, come back together again, and they're happy. Why would he do that? It was something else. Such an announcer. Because, as Prabhupada says, they stay under the authority, even for that sort of activity. It's very important, no matter what the situation is, that one, you know, seeking the favour of Krishna for anything, they stay under the authorities. As soon as they step out from that, that's it, their connection with Krishna is that they become lost. Then there's a problem. So it's not necessarily, and therefore, you know, preachers in Krishna consciousness have to be very careful how we deal with people, because, you know, previously in this one, if you met someone and they did not look like, you know, after you, you know, banged them on the head with a bag of a heater, they were going to join the ashram, well, you didn't have anything to do with them. You know, oh, we're not going to, you know, condone this living like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. You know, people are from all varieties of life, and somehow or another, we want that, whatever their situation, they learn how to chant Hare Krishna, have faith in Krishna as God, and somehow, in any way possible, to work cooperatively with him, under authorities. If they do that, they'll attain perfection. So that is the same thing. Okay?
Okay. Some of the religions, they outright say that we don't believe in last life.
Mm.
This is how to feed them. So I'll give you an example. A 3-year-old boy has a retinoblastoma of the stomach.
Mm.
That means prognosis, he will die within 3 months.
Mm.
Maximum 3 months. So how he got so much reaction that he will die in 3 months? He will go out to eat his life. How did he get it? Mm. So how to explain that religion? Very tough religion.
Yeah.
I don't know the name, you know what I'm saying. They say, I don't believe in last life.
That's right.
How
do we
preach them, please?
How to preach to them? I would say the chorus, Gulab Jamun, Sabji, Kriya Sabji.
They don't know.
There's always something, you know.
Maybe it's poison.
Smell is bad. There's always something.
No, they say it's poison. I don't take it.
Oh, they don't take a shot and give them something
else.
Yeah. we say, can you chant Hare Krishna? No, I can't chant Hare Krishna. Oh, okay.
So how do you teach?
I'm not going to chant Hare Krishna.
This is my question. How do you teach them?
You wear a t-shirt with Krishna on the front there, so while they're talking to you, they're looking at Krishna.
I'm telling you, I'm
being serious. The tiniest little thing, for instance, if such a person, if you're friendly to them, and they like you, they may be friends with you. If I walk away and say, gee, I met this nice man, this nice lady, gee, they're so friendly, so nice, that person given the devotee a compliment and thought favorably of them, they get Krishna attention.
He doesn't like me because I'm talking of past life.
That is beyond them. But whatever you can do to make them a little friendly, that's nice.
Srila Prabhupada says,
Srila
Prabhupada says that Christianity is top religion.
Yes.
Christ is part of the Son. And he is a Christian. And he is saying that another one. Why is he saying that? That means not a Christian.
Well, that's how Krishna fulfills one's desires. Their desire that I never want to understand God, I never want to think about God, and so Krishna fulfills that desire. And we have to reciprocate. When preaching means you're not just talking to the person, you're reciprocating with the super soul in their heart. When you see that the super soul is fulfilling their desire, that they will not think of Krishna, they are against that. We have to see that Krishna is fulfilling their desire. You know, so they're adamant, and Krishna won't let them. But the devotee is a little kind without disturbing them, that somehow they will do the slightest little thing to bring them. But we also have to recognize that Krishna is fulfilling their desires. And that no matter what you say, until Krishna is ready as well, preaching, we're not the preachers. You know, we even in preaching, we work in cooperation with Krishna. If we want to preach Krishna, so we're not just saying for, you know, marriage, family life, this, you think of Krishna. If you want to preach, you have to think of Krishna. Krishna, I'd like to preach. I'd like to be able to talk to people who are adamant that there's no God, and somehow or another, gradually, or somehow or another, help them to understand Krishna. We cannot do that without Krishna's cooperation. That is another desire. That is a spiritual desire. Whether it's a spiritual desire, material desire, without Krishna's sanction, nothing will happen.
But he believes in God. He wants to carry everything.
So, whatever their belief is, if we want them to advance past that point they're at now, we act, and that is our desire to help them to advance, we actually have to work with Krishna, that by his cooperation we will be able to do it. We can't do anything independently. That's the point. We may think, well, here's the philosophy, here's this, like that, and Krishna's saying, you know, that Krishna wants a little bit more something from his preacher, perhaps a little more training, or something. I mean, Prabhupada can talk with demons and convert them. Prabhupada actually was giving a lecture once about Prahlad Maharaj, and he said, you know, Prahlad is the son of a demon. And Prabhupada looked out and there's all his disciples, and he sort of chuckled and said, oh, you're all sons of demons.
You know, Prabhupada exception.
So, you know, Prabhupada could go to the Western world with it, you know, engage in all demonic activities, you know, eating Garuda Rasa and you start the whole movement, you know, like that. That's because Krishna is fully fulfilling the pure desires of the devotees. But we can't jump up, you know. Well, Krishna will fulfill our desires, but that's his trick. Ah, yes, I will fulfill your desire, Mahatma, but I do want to do something more from you, Mahatma. And then you do that, and then Krishna allows you to preach. So that's his trick. It's like a child, you know. The child wants something, oh, I'll give it to you, but first you come and do this.
Can I just comment, please? Yeah. Bhakti Prabhu in a recent class said we can pray for people. Can you hear me? We can pray for people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.